How important is the Eucharist? We've spent the last several weeks reading through St. John's Gospel, hearing Jesus' instructions on the Eucharist. But there comes a time when we have to do more than simply learn about it. We've learned all about transubstantiation and the way the bread and the wine really become God. We've learned about the sacrificial death of Jesus that is made present on our altar. We know lots of things about the Eucharist, hopefully now. But our first reading today gives us the beautiful example of St. Joshua, right after the Israelites crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And they've been following God all this time, but he knows that a definitive moment is necessary to choose. He asks them, decide today who you will serve, either the gods of your fathers or the pagan gods in this country. They must choose definitively. And famously, Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And of course, the Israelites say likewise. How important is the Eucharist? I think we all need kind of that moment where we're able to commit ourselves, like the Israelites committed themselves, to say, here is what I will do. Not just here's what I think, but a concrete day to say, here is what I will do as a result of what I know the Eucharist to be. How important is it? I offer three people today, three priests actually, to maybe give us a little reflection on how important the Eucharist was to them. One saint, two potential saints. The first is St. Edmund Campion, a Jesuit martyr who died in the persecution of the church in England in the 16th century. This is the time when it was illegal to be Catholic in England. The Protestant Reformation had taken over, and all those who were loyal to the Holy Father were guilty of treason. St. Edmund and his brother priest studied for the priesthood in Rome at the English College, and after their ordination and studies of the priesthood, they volunteered to go back to England. They needed to celebrate Mass there and preach the gospel. They did so knowing that it would probably mean their ultimate death. And indeed, St. Edmund and his companions were indeed martyred. The names of all the seminarians from the English College who would later return to England, you can go there in Rome to this day and see their names on the wall. All priests, all martyrs who volunteered. What was it that made them do that? They saw the importance of the Eucharist. They wanted to go celebrate Mass with the people in England. And indeed, the people there also risked their lives to be able to attend Mass. You could go to England to this day, and in the old castles and mansions where the Catholics live, you will find the curious anomaly of what is known as the priest hole. Often a hidden passageway under some stairs, some slats in the attic, hiding places for priests. It was illegal, and the priest hunters were always on the prowl, waiting to kill and imprison any Catholics who would be caught going to Mass, and to draw and quarter and hang any priest who would dare celebrate Mass in England. And yet celebrate Mass they did. St. Edmund eventually was captured and tried and hung and taken down still alive and drawn and quartered and dragged through the city. Martyrs, all for the Eucharist. How important is the Eucharist? Second example is not a saint yet, but maybe one day. He's servant of God, Father Walter Chiswick. Maybe someone you haven't heard of. He is also a Jesuit who was ministering to the church in Russia at the end of the Second World War. He was captured by the Russians and accused of, again, treason. He was thought of being a spy. And so he too was imprisoned, first for 5 years in solitary confinement in Moscow, and then later for 23 years total in the Gulag slave labor camps of Siberia. After Father Walter was released from his 5 years of solitary confinement, he wrote these words in his book, He Leadeth Me. Father Walter says, "When I reached the prison camps of Siberia, I learned to my great joy that it was possible to say daily Mass once again. In every camp, the priest and prisoners would go to great lengths, run risks willingly, just to have the consolation of this sacrament. For those who could not get to Mass, we daily consecrated hosts and arranged for the distribution of communion to those who wished to receive. Our risk of discovery, of course, was greater in the barracks because of the lack of privacy and the presence of informers. Most often, therefore, we said our daily Mass somewhere at the work site during the noon break. Despite this added hardship, everyone observed a strict Eucharistic fast from the night before, passing up a chance for breakfast and working all morning on an empty stomach. Yet no one complained. In small groups, the prisoners would shuffle into the assigned place, and there the priest would say Mass in his working clothes, unwashed, disheveled, bundled up against the cold. We said Mass in drafty storage shacks or huddled in mud and slush in the corner of a building site, foundation, or an underground. The intensity of devotion of both priest and prisoners made up for everything. There were no altars, candles, bells, flowers, music, snow-white linens, stained glass, or the warmth that even the simplest parish church could offer. Yet, in these primitive conditions, the Mass brought you closer to God than anyone might conceivably imagine. The realization of what was happening on the board, box, or stone used in place of an altar penetrated deep into the soul. Distractions caused by the fear of discovery, which accompanied each saying of Mass under such conditions, took nothing away from the effect that the tiny bit of bread and few drops of consecrated wine produced upon the soul." Fasting, long hours under slave labor just to receive the Eucharist. Imagine how important it was to risk further imprisonment and torture or even death to attend Mass each day in the labor camps of Siberia. How important is the Eucharist. And finally, one other you might not know. His name is Cardinal Francis Van Thuan. He was a Vietnamese cardinal imprisoned by the Soviets, the communists, in the Vietnamese prison camp for 13 years. He spent 9 years in solitary confinement. But the Catholics of the prison would sneak him little bits of bread and a few drops of wine if they could hide it. And he was able to celebrate Mass in his prison cell using the palm of his hand as his chalice. He would take and put a few drops of wine and a drop of water and a little crumb into his hand each day and celebrate the Holy Mass. He writes in his memoir, "I will never be able to express my immense joy. Every day, with 3 drops of wine and 1 drop of water in the palm of my hand, I celebrated my Mass. We made little containers from the paper of cigarette boxes to reserve the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus in the Eucharist was always in my shirt pocket. The Catholics in the camp all knew that Jesus was among them. That is, he is the one who cures all their physical and mental suffering. At night, prisoners would take turns in adoration. Jesus helped in a tremendous way with his silent presence. Many Christians regained the fervor of their faith during these days, and Buddhists and other non-Christians converted." Cardinal Van Thuan, Edmund Campion, Father Chizik, they're all inspirations to me as a priest, because just like probably all of you, At times we maybe get used to the fact that we can celebrate Mass so easily. It's available a couple times a day during the week, 6 times on the weekends. No one's waiting to arrest us. None of us risks our lives by coming here. I think we can take for granted then just how important the Eucharist is. Father Chizik would say in one of his other books, With God in Russia, that he thought that perhaps those who had never been denied the Eucharist for so long could appreciate just how important it is. What's important to us? What do we hand on to our children as being important? A fourth person that is certainly not in this company, but one that comes to my mind today is Neil Armstrong. You might have read that the first man on the moon died yesterday. He was a great hero of mine. If you had maybe asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I would have said, like most kids, I want to be an astronaut. In fact, in the 1980s, especially, if you asked kids what they wanted to be, they were inspired by the great triumph of the space program, and many kids would say they wanted to be an astronaut. They thought it was important. They saw the emphasis that their parents put on it. Math and science took off in our schools. Today, if I ask kids a lot of times what they want to be when they grow up, they'll say a rock star or a professional athlete. One student even told me they wanted to be the host of a reality television show. Okay, those are perhaps things kids can dream about, but I think it shows us also what we place our emphasis on, what's important. Is it being an athlete or a rock star? How many kids today, when asked what they want to be when they grow up, would say, I want to be a priest? It's not that priesthood has become so much harder that people think they just can't do it. It's that, sadly, I think we've come to treat the Eucharist as not being important enough. It's not that priesthood is so unattractive of a life. It's that the Eucharist, the center of the priesthood, the Eucharist that inspired these three priests I just shared with you, we just don't think it matters enough. The Eucharist has got to be treated as the most important thing in our life. Jesus thought it was important. He was willing in our gospel today to allow all his disciples to leave if they didn't understand his teaching on the Eucharist. And when all his disciples do leave, it says in John 6, verse 66, many of his disciples left because the teaching was too hard. You would think he would call them back and say, no, you misunderstood. I meant it symbolically. He doesn't do that. In fact, he goes to his apostles, the only ones left, apparently, and says, you're going to leave too? If you're going to go, go. This is too important. How important is the Eucharist to us? Ultimately, it's got to have a day like Joshua and the Israelites where we decide, how important will it be? And what do our actions show? As I was greeting people last night, I came over after Mass, and I thought Mass was over because people were coming out and there was a visiting priest, so I thought, well, maybe it was a little shorter, and communion was still going on, and yet people are coming out, and I just felt the sadness that we really don't think the Eucharist is that important. There are other things we have to do with our day, and we want to get on with it. Beat people in the parking lot and avoid traffic. All those things speak of what's important. I pray today that you would be inspired maybe by these three priests. I sometimes am tempted just like you. Monday is my day off, and if I don't have the parish Mass, I'm every now and then tempted to think, well, maybe I just won't celebrate Mass today. I'm tired, and it's my day off, and I'm getting back late, and I think of Father Walter in Siberia and longing to celebrate Mass so much that he would risk his life. St. Edmund Campion, Cardinal von Thuan. All these men inspire me. I hope they inspire you. We have an important question to ask ourselves and to answer with our lives. How important is the Eucharist?